This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Greg Puckett. Greg is a county commissioner from Mercer County, West Virginia. He's in Washington, D.C., meeting with the president. We'll talk with Greg Puckett in just a moment. Speaking of D.C., she's the new chairwoman of the Federal Communications Commission, talking about Jessica Rosenworcel. She's excited about the future.
Well, I do think if we get 100% of this country connected to broadband, we're going to see creativity come from places people don't anticipate. This idea that you're going to have to be in our largest metro centers or on the coast to produce the most innovative services and products, I think it's going to fade into the distance. And I think we're going to see interesting new ideas in commerce and culture if we get everyone connected. And that gets me really excited.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Greg Puckett, who is a commissioner for Mercer County, West Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Now, you're obviously from West Virginia, but you're also a part of an association, the National Association of Counties. Maybe you want to start there. Tell us about the association.
Well, the Association of Counties is an amazing organization. They are the central organization that represents counties across the United States. In fact, there are 3,069 counties, parishes, or boroughs. And, of course, that has a multitude of opportunities in all of our local communities. We always like to say that we are the voice of counties here on Capitol Hill. And I've had the opportunity to be with this organization since my election back in 2015. Really been working with them on a variety of issues, a lot of rural issues, in fact, because just over the last year, just over a year, I guess, I was chosen to lead what is known as the Rural Action Caucus, which is the largest county caucus representing about 70% of the United States county. So it's a fantastic organization. NACO.org is the website, and I encourage all of the visitors to go check it out and find out how that pertains to each individual community.
Well, we're going to swing back around here in just a moment and dig a little deeper there. But first, Mercer County, West Virginia, what's the elevator speech? What will we find?
Well, Mercer County, West Virginia is located in the central part of the eastern United States. We are about 12-hour drive to 60% of the United States population. I always like to say that, you know, if you can pinpoint where West Virginia is in the heart of Appalachia and go down to the southern part, right as you come and go out of the coal fields area, we're sort of a good mix of coal fields, coal producing community, coal supporting community as well. We're right in the heartland, and we've got some amazing infrastructure and really focusing on our outreach, working with a lot of neighboring counties and working with our farmlands and working with our tourist information opportunities. It is one of those places where it has always been home for me, and I would encourage others to come join me. It is again, right in the heart of Appalachia, and we've got a lot to offer. And we've just got to make sure that we work with other counties to make sure that we're being as responsive and hopeful as possible to the people we serve.
Obviously, you mentioned infrastructure. We're seeing challenges, not just in cities, but definitely in counties nationwide. When we start looking at some of these challenges facing especially the rural ones, what do you start talking about?
Well, you know, we're not without fault, that's for sure. You know, every county has to deal with a number of different issues, and you know, we can talk about the infrastructure pieces, you know, what we don't have. You know, Mercer County is one of those unique areas where we still do not have zoning. So, you know, there's a lot of things that happen within our community outside of our municipalities that really pose some unique challenges for us. Many of the counties around us are, you know, very similar. And, you know, we also have some issues with dilapidated properties, blight, things that, you know, we've neglected many of our properties over the years. And so we're just now getting back in. And thankfully to the federal government right now, we've got a little additional money to help deal with that through the American Rescue Plan Fund. We're really focused on trying to deal with some of the other social service issues that we have in our communities, like the problems we associate, you know, in the physical health. Naturally with the pandemic, but we also have the issues with addiction of all kinds, opioids and the like. And, you know, we're dealing a lot with the mental health issues about, you know, when you have a very rural area, as I'm sure most of your listeners know, you deal a lot with in a downturn economy, in an area that may not be as progressive in some ways. You have a lot of hopelessness and a lot of issues there that drive some of the negative sides of our county. But, you know, we are trying to focus on those. I think that, you know, we see a lot more collaboration now than we've ever seen. I think we tend to think of it as a nonpartisan issue. As you know, we don't like think partisanship at all. We like to make sure that we, as county elected officials, do whatever is right for our communities. And then we let the state and federal government fight it out if they want to go partisan. We just try to work in that system the best we can.
Well, you nailed that on the head, especially when we start getting to rural areas. We quit worrying so much about that and start trying to really attack those problems, those issues. But it really highlights the fact that you're in Washington, D.C. and had an opportunity to meet with the president, right?
Yes, sir, I did. And, you know, one of the things that I actually did get a chance to meet with him and just thank him for his opportunity to come and listen to the issues that we have as county elected officials. And, you know, as a former county official himself, he understands local issues. He understands what it's like to take a call in the middle of the night or go to the grocery store and be able to address those things face to face and not have to worry about, you know, having to work through policy resolutions and everything else. Sometimes it's about, you know, going and taking care of your constituents by physically showing up and doing the work. And I think as county elected officials, such as myself, that's what we're about. We want to put forth whatever policies we can to make sure things are better for our communities. But we don't think of it in partisan ways. Unfortunately, you know, we do have to run in partisan elections sometimes. But when I run things, I can't speak for, you know, everyone, but I can speak for myself. And I can say that, you know, I don't care if you're a Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter to me. One of the things I always say is the right isn't always right and the left isn't always left. The left isn't always wrong. And somewhere in the middle, there's a solution. And so I think that's the way government should be run. Now, maybe if we can send that message up to all the way back up here to D.C., then we'll all get along well.
Well, and talking about getting along, we started the conversation by talking about the National Associations of Counties, and you touched on what the group does. But as we look down the road, whether it's the association or whether it's just rural counties, when you start looking down the road, what do you see coming, and are you excited?
Actually, I'm extraordinarily excited. You know, through this opportunity through the American Rescue Plan funds, you know, it is giving counties and municipalities an opportunity to get things done at the local level. I think that was one of the major accomplishments of this administration beyond all others is that, you know, we're coming out of a pandemic. We need to get our people back to work. We need to get them, you know, doing things in the communities that strengthen those opportunities where we do provide hope and resilience back in our community. So, you know, we were able to advocate last year to receive $65.1 billion to go out to counties directly, also $65.1 billion to municipalities directly. Just in my county alone, we're seeing right around $20 million. And that is in itself, that's amazing opportunity to do a lot of infrastructure investment. So we're going to invest in broadband, water, sewer. We're going to do a lot with our dilapidated and blight, and we're going to start really trying to work together and maybe even cross-collaborating with counties next hours to where we can get some jobs done. Sometimes when that money comes down through, you know, through a federal means, through a grant process, it goes through and it doesn't have a whole lot of opportunities to really have a heavy lift. And same thing with municipalities or things that we got to work with the state. These funds coming directly to our counties is an opportunity to show people that counties can get this work done. And I think that in itself and our relationship that we have with our federal partners is something that I've never been so excited to have as I am right now.
You can learn more about the National Association of Counties online, NACO.org, NACO.org. He's Commissioner from Mercer County, West Virginia, the Honorable Greg Puckett on today's Agribusiness Report.
Introducing the industry's only rear boom sprayer with two height adjustable clearance. Elevate your operation with the Fendt Rogator 900 series. Explore the machine that fits for all seasons. Spring pre-plant, post-emerge short crops, and late season tall crops. Application on your own terms. And that is how you grow bold. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Did you know that the world-famous Café Du Monde has always used cottonseed oil to fry their beignets? Cotton Board invested over $1.5 million into cottonseed research and marketing last year with Cotton Incorporated, including research on the health benefits of cottonseed oil compared to other oils. Our goal is to make cottonseed oil the preferred cooking oil in kitchens across the country, like a Café Du Monde in New Orleans. Forever Cotton. Visit cottonboard.org/forevercotton. Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report. Aubrey Betancourt is president and CEO of the Almond Alliance, says when we're looking at supply chains and disruptions, the visuals are improving, but the problem is not.
Same problem in LA. I'm competing with everybody in Los Angeles. Same story. We are seeing a little uptick in Long Beach right now. One of my members just was saying he's starting to move some product right now. We think it's because Christmas is kind of tapered off. But honestly, I don't see it getting any better. And what's funny is the visuals aren't there anymore because they're waiting further offshore now, right? But they're out there. Now they're just cruising in a little slower. It's the visual's not quite there. So what's happening? I keep getting asked, what are we... I haven't even gotten into the chassis and the truck rules on some of these things. We're dealing on the trucking side, which is a whole other issue in terms of how many hours can operate. Do we have enough truck drivers? What are their allowances for what they can carry? What kind of trucks are allowed in and off the ports? Are there enough chassis to carry containers? Actually, there are. There's just too many containers sitting on chassis. And so the chassis aren't available. This is the definition of cluster, okay? I'm not going to finish that sentence, but it really is. And so you can see when we hear solution sets or we hear of, okay, well, what if we just did this? I pull that thread. I'll give you an example with Long Beach, LA. Too many empties are piling up on the terminals in Long Beach and LA. So Long Beach, LA threatens, you know what, we're going to fine you if you leave an empty here. What happens? That didn't make a trucker come get that empty out. That meant the carrier put it back on the ship and took off. Well, what did that do to everybody else? Wait a minute, you're not taking product. The unintended consequence of that kind of trying to stop or trying to create a reaction or trying to facilitate. And so you've got all these players along the way, too, who are only able to control what they can control. And, I talk to our port operators when I can, and I say, what do you need? Well, right now we need this. Right now we need that. We need focus on this. We're going to try to get, we've heard about the pop-up yard in Oakland, which we're very thankful for. The pop-up yard in Oakland is literally trying to just create flow again. Let's pull some of the empties out. Let's have them available for ag, so ag can go in, get them out, and maybe we stop the kind of push-me-pull-you action of trucks trying to get in and out of the terminals. Is it a solution? It's a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid that's going to help. But we're putting Band-Aids on bullet holes when you consider the reality of my farmer on the ground who just got that letter, who said, I'm not getting the cash flow I need.
Aubrey Betancourt with the Almond Alliance. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The formula for success is a simple one. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why cotton growers looking to improve yield potential plant Delta Pine brand cotton, featuring 100 years of proven yield potential and exclusive genetics in every bag. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report, and our special guest today, Greg Puckett, with the National Association of Counties.
For 40 years, United Ag has been committed to ensuring the vitality of the ag industry. United Ag helps protect your future and the future of your workforce. Join United Ag and take advantage of up-to-date information on pending legislation and immigration reform, advocacy, health benefits, and leadership opportunities. United Ag is here to ensure your farm makes it to the next generation. Join us at www.unitedag.org. That's unitedag.org.
It's that time of year you've been waiting for. Commodity Classic is back, March 10th through 12th in New Orleans. Join the sorghum checkoff for a learning center session, finding the sweet spot, combining precision agriculture and conservation to build a sustainable and diverse farming landscape. Don't miss this cross-commodity, cross-sectoral collaboration with Pheasants and Quail Forever and Cotton Incorporated. Register online at CommodityClassic.com or listen to it live here. Sorghum, the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Tim Lust is CEO, National Sorghum Producers.
Obviously a big acreage increase, 25%, 24% acre increase, and then some really good prices from a basis standpoint, and then the board kind of just continued to go up throughout the crop year. And certainly since we've harvested the 21 crop, the Board of Trade just continues to go up. So a lot of things as we move into 2022 to be happy about in terms of what some of the price opportunities are. But that's not all of the story. I mean, as our growers know, the board part is really nice, and we've certainly seen a big increase in commodity prices for all commodities. But, the other part of this discussion really for 2022 is cost of production and what costs look like. And, that's something we're certainly trying to spend a lot of time visiting with growers about and, really evaluating what those numbers look like.